Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, students. Welcome to our lesson summary review. Today, we're going to be covering the final lesson of our course, Personal Evangelism, which is one of our Associates in Christian Theology program courses, and we're on session number 8 this week, which is entitled Expect Reward. Now, this session will help the student to see the value of personal evangelism in terms of the reward that a gracious God bestows in appreciation of anyone who will work with him to enlarge his eternal family. And so we're going to take some time of preparation as we cover this final lesson of this course. We're going to pray and get our hearts and minds saturated with God's presence and His Spirit. We want to pray that each of us, as we learn in our Network Training Center directors, as you teach this last lesson, that you will do so in a way that will change lives. We want to pray that each and every student, that their witness to unsaved family members and friends would increase. We also want to pray that we will be more properly motivated to work in God's great harvest field to see the lost saved and disciples. So let us go ahead and seek the face of God now. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you. We ascribe worth to you, for you alone are worthy of all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We thank you for this opportunity to learn and to grow and to minister and to witness in your name. We pray today, Father, that your Holy Spirit will be present and upon us and in us and active through us as we witness to others, as we see lives changed by your power, and as we are motivated to work in your harvest vineyard. So, Father, be with us as we study and learn this final lesson. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Again, students, I welcome you to our lesson summary review. We're on session 8, which is the final lesson of our course, Personal Evangelism. I pray that you've been enriched so far as you studied along with us, and as we conclude this final lesson, which is entitled Expect Reward, I want to comment that the last lesson of the course appropriately deals with the reward of personal evangelism. There are results that should come as a response to our efforts to share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. And so I'm going to give you a few scripture texts that will talk about some of God's rewards as we introduce this lesson. If you have a blank sheet of paper, you can take notes of the following scriptures: Matthew chapter 5, verse 12, Matthew chapter 16, verse 27, Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. You can also take a look at Mark chapter 9, verse 41, Mark chapter 10, verses 29 to 30. You can look at Luke chapter 6, verse 35, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 8, and two more for you, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 26, and Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. Each of these scripture texts that I gave you talks about some of the rewards that the believers receive as a result of personal evangelism. Now, I'd like to stress that our main motivation as we do personal evangelism should not be looking ahead to what our reward would be, but our main motivations, as we have seen, are our desire to obey our Lord and a genuine love for the lost. So those are our two main motivations for what we do, and as a result, we just happen to receive reward along with our efforts. Now, there's another scripture text that our study guide pointed us to, and I want to make reference to for you now, and that is Luke chapter 17, verse 7 through 10. And as you look through that portion of scripture, I particularly want you to place an emphasis on verse number 10. And as you look at that verse, here's a question that I want you to be able to answer. How do Jesus' words here fit with the promise of reward for the faithful servant? How does this scripture talk about the promise of reward for faithful servants? And if you look at your study guide and that scripture in proper context, you'll see that this passage, it does not contradict the promise of reward and honor. It merely shows that we should not be clamoring for rewards as we obey the Lord. You see, Jesus said his food was in doing his Father's will, not in anticipating reward afterward. And likewise, I want to emphasize with you that our appetite should be for obedience itself. We simply want to do the work of the personal evangelism because Jesus has commanded us to do it and because we take pleasure in obeying God. So if that is our main motivation, is the service of the Lord and obedience to him, we simply get rewards because God is gracious, because God is loving, and he delights in the loving response of our obedience. And God has chosen of his own self to reward us abundantly when we obey him, just as we take pleasure in our own children when they obey us. So as the study guide pointed out on page 130, it states, the rewards are both present and future, temporal and eternal, material and spiritual. So that is some of the introduction as we prepare to go through the main headings of this final lesson, which is expect rewards. Now, the major headings that we're going to look at for you today is the present reward and the future reward that we will receive for obeying Christ's command to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. We call this, on an individual level, personal evangelism. So let's take a look at the present reward that we will receive for being obedient to Christ's command. And our first objective asks us to give examples of rewards we can expect as we do personal evangelism. And one of the first rewards that we get presently is the Lord's presence. The Lord's presence. If you like a reference, look at John chapter 12, verse 26. And as you review that portion of Scripture, I like to ask this question. In what way is true close communion with our Lord maintained? Now, according to the study guide and according to the scripture text, it is through following Jesus, that is, joining him in the work that he is doing. We see Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, that he will be with us always as we obey his command to go and make disciples of all nations. So, students, we see that this reward is not one we wait to receive after our work is completed. It is received before and during our work, and it intensifies as we work if we stay alert to his guidance and depend on his help and rejoice in his presence. Now, this next part of our lesson has an exercise sheet that we're going to go over. And if you're in the classroom, your network training center director should be able to provide you with a copy of the exercise sheet. For those of you who are studying independently, online, and by distance education, we'll try to post those on our Facebook page. And you can always contact us at the school email address, and we'll provide you with a copy of the exercise sheet. But I'm going to briefly take a moment now to go over some of the questions in the exercise sheet to give you a better depth of understanding about the Lord's presence as one of our present rewards that we receive as we do the work of personal evangelism. So this exercise sheet, it talks about the Lord's presence with us as it is described in John's gospel. It talks about abiding in me and I in you. And as believers, remaining or abide in Jesus. You see John chapter 15, verse 1 through 11, where Jesus talked about this with his early disciples. And this scripture text is very relevant for each of us who engage in the work of evangelism in partnership with Jesus, allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us. So here are some of the following questions I want to ask based on John 15, verses 1 through 11. What image is used to picture the Lord's presence in our lives according to this scripture? What image is used to picture the Lord's presence in our lives? Well, we see from the scripture that Christ is the vine or source of life to which we, the branches, are attached and must remain attached in order to bear fruit. So that is the imagery that is used to picture the Lord's presence with us. A second question that we can look at from this text is, what factors do you think nurture our relationship with Christ? Well, we'll know that the quality of our relationship with Christ depends on our remaining in him. Some versions say abiding in him. We abide in him through quiet times alone with him as we worship and in times of intercession. And when we do this, students, this connects us with him in a way that is vital to doing his work with his help, because as the scripture says, apart from him, we can do nothing. Another thing we see that as we stay connected and nurture this relationship is that we bear fruit as we labor with him. And as we continue to labor with him and this fruit begins to manifest, that is, people responding to the loving message of Christ Jesus that we share, it enhances and deepens our communion with him in private also. So we see here both kinds of fellowship, the quiet time and the labor with him, are essential ingredients to remaining in him or having his presence in our lives. So this is the way that we nurture our relationship with Christ as we serve. A third question we want to ask based on John 15, 1 through 11 is, how important is obedience to Christ's command? Well, we know as we study this lesson and as we look at the scripture text that obedience to Christ's command is essential to a real heart response to Christ's love or his presence. Just as Jesus obeyed his Father's command, so we must obey Christ's command as well. Remember, the context that we looked at in John chapter 15 is that if we abide in him and his word abide in us, if we abide in his word and we abide in him, then we will bear much fruit. So we want to be not Christian in name only, but we actually want to be Christ-like. We want to be like Christ in our obedience and in our service. A fourth question let's take a look at is, if we do not remain in Christ through spending time with him, we should be able to answer this question. What is the warning that is given to us in this passage if we do not spend time abiding with Christ? Well, it is a clear declaration that is mentioned in this scripture text. It says, if we do not remain in Christ through spending time with him and laboring with him, we will eventually be cut off. You see that in verse 2 of John 15. That means that we will no longer have his presence in our lives. And without Christ's presence in our lives, as the scripture text says, then we can do nothing without him. But if we do abide in him, then we will bear much fruit, or we'll be effective in the work that Christ has called us to do. So we're looking at some of the present rewards as we study Session 8 of the Course Personal Evangelism. Hopefully that exercise sheet will help you to be able to understand how to continue to be effective and what our motivation should be and what our witness and example should be like as we share the good news with others. Another thing I want to share with you while we're looking at the present rewards and studying the Lord's presence is make note of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 through 8, as well as verses 16 through 18. And you'll see in this particular portion of Scripture that Paul describes circumstances prior to his death. So from those scripted texts, I want to ask this question. What are some benefits of God's continuous presence with us? And write down some of your responses on a blank sheet of paper. And we pray that some of your answers might include things like it provides continuous companionship as we work. Another benefit is that it guarantees our being able to do what he commanded. A third thing you may have listed is that it provides for our needs as we give ourselves to his purposes. Another benefit that comes from God's continuous presence is that he makes our ministry to others effective. He also allows us to have a continuous awareness of his presence and that he's aware of every situation and every need that we have. And it also provides his comfort whenever we need it. These are some of the benefits of God's continuous presence being with us. And I pray that each and every one of you, as you study, as you learn, as you serve, that you will be aware of these benefits as well. I'd like to refer you also to a statement that is listed on page 131 in our study guide, which says, to have such a person always in our daily life and service is surely the greatest reward that we could ever have. So we see, as we look at the present rewards that we receive, the first reward is the Lord's presence. Now, the second reward that we receive presently is satisfaction. So I'd like for you to observe that the greater the value of a job that is done, the greater the joy of that job when you hear the word, well done. So we understand that God gives to us an immediate peace and a nourishment of soul after we do his will and while we're doing his will. But we need to understand there's also a future version of this to look forward to when we will finally hear him say, well done. So I'd like to ask you a question here, students. How real is your anticipation of standing before Christ for the final review of your life? How will you feel when Jesus says, well done, good and faithful servant? Well, now is the time to do that which will bring these words then. It is what we do now that affects the reward that we'll receive in the future. So I'd also like to refer you to the last paragraph on page 134 of your study guide. Review that if you have not already done so. And from that review, how many Christians have never had this deep joy of seeing someone that they have won to Christ serving God and growing in their walk with him? This is the joy, the satisfaction that we receive that as we share the gospel, some of us may see the actual results manifest. Some of us may not see the result, for we know as one of the scripture texts that the Apostle Paul wrote was that one man soweth, another man watereth, but God gives the increase. But it is certainly a great joy, just as a parent sees a child learning to walk or to drive or graduate. The great joy we get by seeing people walk with the Lord also brings us great satisfaction. So many times Christians seem quite satisfied with simply witnessing, even if no one accepts Christ as Lord and Savior. And as I mentioned, there are times where we may not see the result, but we, as one of our essential motivations for evangelism, is that we should see the value in every witness action, every word, and we should not feel like we failed if the person is not saved immediately, if they do not show results immediately. Just as we mentioned to you, you may sow the seed, someone else may water the seed that you've sown. But for whatever part in the labor that you had, our anticipation is that you will receive the satisfaction of obeying Christ, you will enjoy his presence, and that in the future, of course, you will hear the words, "Well done for being a good and faithful servant." Here's another scripture I want to give you before we go to the future reward. I want you to make note of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 through 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 through 3. And these scriptures show us how important real concern or love for the lost is. So as you look at that portion of scripture, I like to ask, what is the point of verse 1? And the response that you should be looking at is that no one is benefited by an impressive display of tongues. You see in verses 2 through 3 that the specified ministry, even though they do provide benefit to the recipient, speaking in tongues or praising God in languages that we do not understand, or praying in the spirit, as some may call it. But we want to know that what is the reward for the one doing the ministry? And the answer is, in the case of speaking in tongues without being able to edify others, is that there is no reward because the motivation is not love for others. There is no honor in God's eyes if love does not motivate the performance of our ministry. Sometimes people do ministry for self-glory or to appear spiritual or to have more honor than others. But love is an outward action. It is something that is extended to others, and so there is no reward if your ministry is not motivated by love for others. So if we do this type of ministering without motivation, being loved, the outcome, as the writer says in this text, is that I am nothing if I have not love. He says again, if love is not the motivation for sacrificial giving, for martyrdom, and the outcome is still that I gain nothing. And these are some very sobering thoughts and light in which we need to make sure that our hearts, students, are purified and that we have a sincere love for people. You can see a reference for this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. And finally, before we move to the future rewards, I'd like to observe that our satisfaction now in seeing a new convert whom God brought to himself through our witness will be amplified when we get to the kingdom of heaven and see that that person is included in the great multitude of believers that is mentioned in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9. And that will be a satisfaction that is in tune with the very heart of God. And so let us make sure that our motivation is always to see the lost saved and to obey God's commands and leave the reward in the presence of Christ, and also we will receive these future rewards. Let's talk a little bit about them before we finish this lesson. Now, even though some of our future rewards are described in Scripture, they are hard for us to understand very clearly. But what we can know for sure is that they will be good because they come from our loving Heavenly Father. You may want to write down some of these things. From Daniel 12:3, that we will shine like stars. From 2 Timothy 2:12. In Revelation 22, verses 3 through 5, that we will reign with Christ forever. We will see also in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 through 8, 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 to 25. You can see James chapter 1, verse 12, as well as 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, that we will receive many crowns. So these are some of the future rewards that we receive if we lead people to Christ. If we endure suffering and trial, if we are God's servants, we will receive these rewards for keeping the faith and longing for Christ's appearing. If we run our race in such a way so as to get the prize of seeing people won to Christ. We also get these rewards in the future for persevering under trial and standing the test for our love for God. And we also receive these rewards for faithful service as shepherds of God's flock, serving under the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. And also there are some unknown rewards that we will receive. We can see in John chapter 12, verse 26, it assures us of the Lord's presence in our lives now. It also states, my Father will honor the one who serves me. And there is a big, wonderful, eternal surprise awaiting all of us in the kingdom of heaven who serve the gracious Lord here on the earth. So when that time comes, students, we will say to ourselves, I wish I had done more. So I'd like to stress once again that our motivation in personal evangelism is not our reward, but it is our love for the lost and desire to obey the Lord's commands. So I want you to read in conclusion Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 40, which describes the end times and the inheritance of the righteous. And you can ask yourself this question. What is implied about those who receive rewards in heaven? And the answer is that they have served God without even thinking about rewards. And so we also have a visual aid that goes along with this course and final lesson, and we'll try to post it on the Facebook page. But if a man praying over his city, town, or village, he's thinking about the people in the town or village, and he wants to seek God until he fills us with his love so full that we care enough to be friends to non-Christian acquaintances and pray that God will help us to win them to Christ. So I want you to think about those in your town, your city, maybe your banker or somebody at the market that you go to. What can you do in order to help share the gospel with them? Perhaps prayer, perhaps fellowship, perhaps some random acts of kindness. Well, I pray that the Lord will be with you as you continue to work with him and allow him to work through you to share his heart with others. Students, we've been blessed to go through this course with you. We look forward to continuing with our future courses, and if you have any questions or comments, feel free to contact us, and we would love to get back with you as soon as possible. So in the meantime, students, may the Lord be with you as you continue to obey his voice to win the lost, and may our love for the lost increase in Jesus' name. Until our next session, God bless you, and good day.